May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 204. 204. Self-righteous souls on works rely and boast their moral dignity. But if I lisp a song of praise, each note shall echo, grace, free grace. Hymn 204.
Help us this morning to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, at chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called a multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashen hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. May the Lord bless that portion of his holy word. Friends, we read the word, but oh, that it might sink in and have effect upon us. May he help us in prayer. Dear Lord, to thee we come, poor, lost, fallen sinners. We've nothing to offer thee this morning, nothing but unrighteousness, nothing but sin I thee can give. But one says, nothing but love will I receive. Lord, it would be a wonderful favour this morning if one poor sinner goes home with a touch of love from the heavenly Saviour. Lord, to touch them and to make them feel that with them it is well. Oh, we do pray that thou will come and make one in our midst and bless souls that have gathered here in Swavesey Chapel this morning. Lord, we pray that thou wilt graciously help us as we desire to worship thee. To worship thee in the beauty of holiness, to come before thee, though we have nothing as we started but sin to offer, yet to prove thou art kind and gracious and merciful and full of compassion. Oh Lord, look upon us with those compassionate eyes that thou hast towards those that are thine. Oh, the compassion of a dear Saviour. Jesus wept. This same Jesus, oh, may we know his compassion today. Lord, we do need the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. We do need to be brought into that worshipping frame, that we will fall before thee and look up unto thee. And as our friend prayed, that right reverence would be shown to thy holy name this morning as we come before thee and worship thee and desire to do so, Lord, as enabled by thee. Lord, do then graciously help us. Lord, do favour us. Oh, that there might be that touch from above, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. As a poor sinner come in, Lord, pleading that, we pray that it might be so. Yes, I crave. Unworthy to be fed, but Lord, still to be fed this day with that crumb. Oh yes, we do plead that Lord, that thou wilt dispense those favours from heaven. Open the windows of heaven, dear Jesus. Pour out a blessing such as there may not be room enough to receive it. Oh, and as one records, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that the showers might pour forth. Lord, that we've seen much rain this winter, but oh, and into the spring, but oh, Lord, that we might find our soul is satiated with the waters of the gospel, as it were, the rain, the latter rain and the former rain, that they will, there will be a refreshing rain upon our souls this day. Lord, thou knowest how each one has come up. Thou knowest what they need. But if there are those, Lord, in the dry and the barren place, water them. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt water them this day, that their soul will be as a well-watered garden. Yes. Oh, and they will have to say this, spring up, O well, within their soul. And they will realize the water sweet, the well of Bethlehem. Oh, Lord, grant
that it may be so. Souls fed, souls watered, this day here in this chapel, and indeed any that may be listening in. Lord, thou knowest how much we need thee. Lord, thou knowest how we fail thee, indeed, even as we sit in the pew with wandering minds and wandering thoughts and all these things. But Lord, draw us close to thee in our worship. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for thy presence this day. In thy presence I am happy. And one says, in thy presence all afflictions I can easily endure. Oh, Lord, the afflicted. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Lord, we do desire to pray for our dear friend at the desk today. We do pray for him with his dear one in her afflicted state. And Lord, we do beg and plead for thy gracious help, thy gracious help to him, to the dear family, each one of them, Lord. All living nearby, a wonderful favour for him to have that blessing, the family nearby at this time. But Lord, they need the presence, they need of their Saviour. They need the presence of the Lord to draw near. Do go with them, Lord, in this journey of affliction, of trouble, of difficulty, that they will prove that thou art with them, passing through these fires of trouble, that thou wilt underneath show that underneath are the everlasting arms. Do hold our dear friend up, Lord. We do thank thee for the prayers in the vestry. Lord, if they're answered, what a day it will be. What a day. One says, oh, happy day that fixed my choice. Yes, that it will be a happy day if those prayers are answered. A day that the Lord has set forth, a day to favour Zion. The set time is come, but we do pray for him. We pray for his dear one, Lord, in her great affliction, that thou wilt draw near and bless her abundantly. That, Lord, though this so affects the mind, yet, Lord, that she will rest in Jesus. And, Lord, that she will be carried, Lord, to the other side. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. That our heart goes out in love. Lord, though we do not know them well, but we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them in this journey. And, Lord, graciously help and descend, Lord, to support them, each one in the family, with the sorrow, with the concern, with, Lord, all that it means day by day. Send help, O Lord, we beg. And there were others, Lord, we would pray for thy servants that are afflicted. And we are so thankful, Lord, that thou hast granted that answer to prayer in the surgery for Mr. Parrish. And Lord, oh, how shocking it was for us each to hear of his illness. But Lord, thou hast granted those answers to prayer and raised him up thus far to be able to be at home. And Lord, though we understand, Lord, it will be a long journey back naturally. But Lord, do come. Do raise him up again, that he will be able to preach the word. And Lord, that thou wilt bless the word through him. Lord, we plead that he will be strengthened and graciously helped. And we pray for his dear wife and family also. But there are others, Lord. We think of, Lord, the local pastor at Fenstanton, and we do pray for him in that which lies ahead for him. And those investigations, Lord, graciously help him and go before him and be his strength and his stay. Lord, we do plead. And there are others we know, Lord, and indeed have in our own family that have surgery, that where there are those cancerous growths. And Lord, oh, these things that come upon them, be with them, we pray, and go before them in those steps. And Lord, those amongst us, no doubt here, have their afflictions, have their things in the flesh. Lord, we pray that thou wilt help them. We pray that thou wilt give them grace to bear them. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt strengthen them in these things. Lord, be with us each. We do pray. Do remember, Lord, the young friends. We pray thou wilt help them as they have been able to, those that go to school have been able to go back, and they may be helped in that. And helped, Lord, as they go in day to day now up until Easter. Lord, do be with the children. And do be with those that are educated at home as well, Lord, and those that educate at home. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with the parents. Help them to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help them to do it lovingly, Lord, in these most trying and difficult days, but also to do it faithfully. And Lord, not to be afraid to make the case if they need to regarding matters. And Lord, do give them help in all those things and guidance and direction from above. And do remember the young friends, and Lord, and even the little ones, that they may pray from an early age, Lord. How burdened we are for the young people in Zion. What a concern we feel to carry, that they might continue in the ways of God, that they might be enabled to pray from an early stage and prove those answers to prayer, and that they might be kept fast by thy maidens and not go after other gods or other things, Lord, and the gods of this world that so easily would take control of each of us. Lord, do remember the dear young friends, we pray. And those, Lord, looking for things in the future, maybe there is that desire, Lord, that thou wilt make a way with respect to work or with respect to partners in life or with respect to anything, Lord, before them in the journey. We pray that they might seek thee. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Lord, we do pray for those in middle age, the part of life, Lord, that there were so many tensions and so many difficult scenes. Lord, we pray that much prayer will be laid up day by day, hour by hour, as they go on in the journey. And Lord, do be with them. And then the older friends, Lord, as Lord, the grey hairs come on and the burdens, as it seem, in some ways increase. We do pray for them in their daily pathway. And oh Lord, even those who find some of the basic things of life such a challenge, well, we do pray for strength equal to the day, that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Lord, remember each one, the retired ones and the troubled ones this morning, the burdened ones, the ones that seem to feel empty this morning, the ones that feel there's no religion in them. They've gone over the threshold into the house of God, but there's nothing real in them. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wilt be with the seeking souls. Yes, they feel there's nothing in them. They feel to be empty, but Lord, it's a wonderful place to feel, because it's only thou that has made them aware of that. Oh, that thou would encourage the poor, weak believers this morning. Oh, that thou would enable them to go on their way. Oh, that, Lord, thou wilt draw near then and be with each and every one, whatever their state or case might be. Thou knowest, Lord, exactly how they've come up to the house of God this morning, each of us. And, Lord, we know this. We have to be empty to be filled. We have to be empty to be really filled. Filled. And Lord, that's the wonderful favour. Thou would empty thy people. Thou would empty thy servants, that they may be filled. One says, fill, O fill us with that love which casts out fear. Well, Lord, we pray for that this day, a day of blessing and favour. And Lord, do help us as we hope to gather, Lord, at the table. And Lord, that we can do this in remembrance of thee. But may we do all things in our worship in remembrance of thee. Lord, that's what we come here for. to learn of Jesus, to hear of Jesus, to have a touch of his love. We do pray, Lord, thou would remember us in the nation. When it comes in our mind, Lord, to pray for our Queen and the royal household. It is a trying time for them. And we pray for Prince Philip, Lord, in hospital, that he may yet be able to return home if it be thy will. We pray for our Queen, that she will be strengthened. We pray for thy gracious help to be upon her, Lord, as she's been those 70 years upon the throne. And we do pray, Lord, thou wilt graciously help her to continue in the earnest way in which she has done that. May her eyes be up unto thee, Lord. Oh, may she be turned to thee in totality. We know not. She has spoken, Lord, in a couple of her Christmas messages regarding her faith. Well, Lord, may it be so at this time of trial for her and the royal household. We pray for them. But we do pray, Lord, for our Prime Minister and government. And we pray for us as a nation and indeed the nations of the world. At this troubled time with this virus, Lord, and we do pray that our eyes might be up unto thee. Oh, they desire to hold these days of pondering as we've been a year into the virus, but oh, that there might be a day of prayer, a day of looking unto the Lord for his deliverance from the plague. Who alone can stay the plague? Who alone can hold it back? Who alone can prevent any of us from becoming ill from it? Lord, thou art in control. Oh, may we ever see it. And oh, how we fear that individually we can so easily lose sight of who sits upon the throne and controls every particle of this virus. Lord, may our eyes be up unto thee. Give me more faith, more solid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a nation, turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Oh, iniquity going down our streets. How terrible it is to consider, Lord, that we are so far off from thee. Lord, do bring us closer, we do pray. Well, Lord, do remember us as a nation, and we do beg that it may be that we may come out of our restrictions, Lord. But oh, that our eyes might be ever kept upon the Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay, and he will make his goodness to pass before us in the way. Lord, we pray thou wilt be with thy servants this day and help them as they preach the word. Our own dear pastor, Lord, for Staplehurst, and Lord, each of thy servants, we beg and plead that thou would be mouth, matter, wisdom to them. Lord, thou knowest how they feel. Thou knowest, Lord, the true sent servant. It feels that so often, Sunday morning, and they cannot go on. Ah, and may the poor children of God, as they listen and hear the word, oh, may we be strengthened by the couplet, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. May the Lord truly help us then in our worship. Do come, dear Jesus, and help us as we open up thy word, that we look to thy word. And, oh, Lord, may there be a portion for seven and also for eight. We seek all these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 184. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Hymn 184.
Friends needing so much the help of the dear Lord this morning, I would direct your prayerful attention to Matthew 15 and verse 25. Matthew 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, Lord, help me. This was a woman of Canaan. She came from the coast. She came seeking mercy. She came to the Lord. Now, friends, I've been so tried about this text and didn't want to bring it, if I'm to be honest. It was given to me, I feel, on Tuesday evening in a time of trouble of myself, as the very prayer was squeezed out of one's poor heart in a matter. Lord, help me. But I've tried to come away from it as we've gone through the week and pondering as we do and meditating upon these things. And the enemy says the friends at Swayze don't want to hear these simple things. They want to hear something else. But every time there's been this word that's come in, desperate, desperate, desperate. And I feel this, unless the Spirit has guided me wrongly, unless I mean in my own spirit, I feel this, the Spirit has said to me, there's someone desperate, desperate, a poor, desperate sinner that needs the word. They feel what it is to know their desperation. And therefore we come with a word, friends, that we each need, with a prayer at the end of the word in the text that we each will need daily, I believe. Where how can we go on without the Lord's help? How can we continue without his help in hand? Well, we cannot. But friends, may the Lord help us to look at this word in its separate ways. Then came she. Secondly, to consider she worshipped him. And thirdly, the very prayer that was brought out saying, Lord, help me. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to go, had to depart towards, we into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, we read in verse 21. He must be going. He knew this woman was going to come to him. And he said that she was the first, that her daughter was the first Gentile to be healed of the Lord. The Lord knew. And the Lord knows where you are. He knows that desperate soul that's come in this morning. Desperate because of sin. Desperate because of the pathway. Desperate because you know not how to go on. He knows. Before you walked over the threshold of the chapel, he knows what position you were in your soul, in your experience this morning. I know you and I doubt these things at times, friends, but he knows. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, he will bring me forth as gold. Is he trying you, friends, in a pathway you feel you can't take another step in? Friends, what a prayer there is for you to take into Monday, into Tuesday, in the week ahead. Lord, help me. Three simple words. But she came. This was the thing. She came to the Lord. He went to Tyre and Sidon. He was coming away from the area with the Jews because, of course, they were questioning him. And we read that in our reading. Did we not? How about the tradition of the elders and all these things? But the Lord came away. He came away towards the coast of Tyre and Sidon because this woman, she came out of the same coast and she cried unto him. Who showed her where she should cry? Who gave her those thoughts in her soul and her mind to look to this Jesus? Oh, friends, how wonderful is the work of salvation. She was shown that is the way to come. She was brought that way. It must be that way. So she came. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. And then she put forth her case.
came straight to the point. Did you come straight to the point in your prayer this morning, friends? I hope you prayed this morning. Straight to the point to the Lord Jesus. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And maybe this is where you are, poor sinner, this morning. He answered her not a word. What a pathway that is. And the Lord will have us to walk it out at times. He answered her not a word. Lord, I've been praying, I've been begging, I've been seeking thee for thy gracious help in this particular matter, and I have no answer. I know not what the guidance, direction is, which way thou art leading me. I've sought for many months, nay years, that thou would bless my soul again with a thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. I love thee well, my child, give, that thou wouldest give me such similar promise of thy ownership of me. And he answered her not a word. And that's where you feel to be, friends. Keep praying. She pressed on. She did not give up because of that, in a way, a rebuff of silence. Oh, friends, it needs faith to be given us to continue. What faith was in this? And his disciples, then his disciples attacked. Send her away. Send her away. She crieth after us. But this is where the Lord Jesus came. He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, in a way, that was could have been a rebuff to her, because don't forget, friends, as we introduced it, she's a Canaanite, she's a Gentile, she's not a Jew, she's not of the house of Israel. But she is of the spiritual house of Israel, and that was the difference. But you see, friends, she could easily have been pushed back, but she kept on, she kept on. Oh, that you and I might be in a desperate situation then, and able to keep on coming to the Lord. Then came she. Then came she. Friends, are you a coming sinner? Do you feel the drawing love of the Lord that you have to come? Oh, you feel empty. Oh, you feel desperate, but there's nowhere else to go. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Yes, poor sinner, nowhere else to go. Well, she came. Friends, venture on. Come to the Lord. He said to Peter on the water, come. One word of command, come. It was only Peter that sank because of his lack of faith. But the wind was boisterous and he had to cry out, didn't he? But he said the word of the Lord was, Jesus was come. And friends, this she came. And she worshipped him. Worship, you know, it was lovely. Our friend mentioned about that word reverence. What is worship, friends? What is worship? What a question for you and I this morning to define what we mean by worship. You know, I wish I could, friends. But one of the things, as our dear friend mentioned that word in the beginning of his prayer, is reverence. To show reverence before the Lord is worship. Praise is worship, friends. Adoration is worship. Love in our hearts to the Lord Jesus is when we worship him. Prayer is worship. You know, the Bible is full of this word worship. From Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, you know, it's so remarkable. Worship in trouble. Worship in a time of praise. Worship in affliction. Worship when it seems things are all against us, but still to worship the Lord Jesus. We read of the Greeks. They came to worship Jesus. They said to Philip, we read they came to worship. And then they said, sir, we would see Jesus. But we read so wonderfully of Abraham. Abraham's time of trial, his son, the son of promise. He's got to take this son. The Lord Jesus said to take thy son, thine only son, to the mountain to be offered for a sacrifice, to offer. And you know, we read this, that they came to the to Mount Moriah, and there they came, and we read this, that he says to the young men that are around him, abide here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I'm going to go and worship. What, Abraham? In the time of your trial, in the time of your real difficulty, you're going to go and worship. Yes, because that's how the Lord will, he will bring us to worship him in the deepest trial, you know, friends. Worship, adoration, praise, honor, reverence to his holy name. He will bring those things forth from us, friends. That's worship. Yes, and come again to you. And you go right the other end of the Bible, the Revelation, the very last chapter, when John the divine is shown, the angel shows him something of those that are in heaven above. And he sees the angel, and he talks of laying down and prostrate before the angel, and he says no. And the angel says two words to him. Worship God. Worship God. And friends, that's what you and I should be doing as we enter into the house of God, with that desire to worship him. But you're not a true worshiper if you just worship him in that sense as you come into chapel, friends. Worship is something that we do as we live our life of Christianity, desire to be a follower of him. Worship in the car, worship in the kitchen, worship in the garage, worship as we walk down the road. Friends, this is worship. And I'll tell you this, friends, there's a solemn thing in worship that we need to consider, that I feel, and that is this. We need to be what I might term really one of three types of worshipper. And I believe at times we're all these types. May the Lord help us to open this up. But you see, we are idle, I-D-L-E, worshippers sometimes, idle. That is, we worship with the tongue, we worship with the lips, we speak as it were. Well, the hymn writer says, we lipped confession. But, oh, you see, friends, he'll have us to feel it in the heart. You see, idol worship. In other words, we just come to the house of God. We come because it's 10:30, 6:30, or in the week. But we just come because it's the time. And that's our worship. But, friends, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be a seven-day religion, you know, if we're really following the Lord Jesus. And he will have us to worship him. And to, in the most strange places, in the office, in a crowded place, at the workplace, wherever it is, to worship him, in the school. Worship. Yes. Friends, idol though. Just a lip service. And you know, we all fall into this if we're truly honest. Friends, I know I do. Oh yes, we give lip service to these things. But to worship him, as the publican worshipped him. So idol, I-D-L-E. Another worship is idols, I-D-O-L. Idol worship. Yes, it can, you know, friends, it can come so close. We can put our family before God. Oh, we think of idols like the golden calf. We think of those, and we think of those things that we might serve. It might be sport, it might be politics, it might be books that we're interested in reading, but friends, it's not just those things that can come in the way before the Lord that we worship. It can be our families, it can be our partners in life, it can come to those close things. Oh, how we need trying and testing out. Worship, friends. Are you coming and worshipping the one triune God? Or are you worshipping these other things? We all fall into these other brackets of worship. So idol, I-D-L-E, idol. And then there's a publican. That's the one that's left. Ideal worship, that is. Oh, remember these things, friends. Idol, ideal, ideal worship. Oh, how we idolise things. How we put them up, as it were, and they come before the Lord Jesus Christ. How searching it should be. This lady, she was steadfast to go to the Lord Jesus. I know we haven't got to the help bit yet, but she was steadfast to go on. And we need to be given that spirit of real worship, friends. So, idol. The idols. And the idol with the lazy worship, as we might call it. But then the ideal worship of the publican. Oh, that he can't, you know, he couldn't so much as lift up his face. And he beat upon his breast, did he not? God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's ideal worship. Prostrate before the Lord. To feel there's nothing in us. To feel that emptiness that we spoke of in prayer. Oh, friends, that's where the Lord will have us to be. Ideal worship. Honour and praise and glory to his name. Nothing at all of sinful, wretched flesh. That is ideal worship, but friends, it must be with praise and with honour. We must never forget praise. We must never forget, friends, to count our many blessings. Name them one by one. Yes, in the deepest trial, in the darkest dispensation, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord has done. Yes, this lady was in a deep trial. She'd got all this trouble, had she not, with her daughter. And we don't, and friends, I feel sure she'd got soul trouble too. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone could save and help her. He alone can save and help you, poor sinner. Oh, she came and worshipped him. It's as far as we got, friends, isn't it? Oh, do we have a few ideal worshippers here this morning in Swavesey Chapel? Oh, I do hope so. To worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship him a little in the beauty of holiness. I know to worship him fully, friends, we need to go to glory. I understand that. But as we're given that ability of him to worship here below, just a little. And then her prayer, saying, Lord, help me. Lovely prayer, isn't it, for a child? Lovely prayer for a young person. Lord, help me. I can't do this piece of work at school. Lord, help me. I've got these people that are my friends, but they turn against me sometimes. Lord, help me. I have this difficulty. Lord, help me. What a prayer. Young people, use this prayer. Ask the Lord to help you to pray it. Three simple words. You know, if you come to the end of the day and you just pray, Lord, help me for tomorrow. What a wonderful prayer. You know, we look to self, don't we, in so many things. What does the hymn writer say? Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Are we back to that desperate one that we spoke of at the beginning? Oh, poor desperate sinner. This prayer will come forth from you. Lord, help me. Help me. I cannot go on. I cannot continue. I have this trouble before me, all around me. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Because we're able to pray, and still able to pray this little prayer. Lord, help me. When most we need his helping hand. The time of trouble, the time of real difficulty, the time when we can't do anything but pray for these simple words, friends. You know, he's going to have this come forth from you. Because this is real worship, this prayer. When this prayer is really put in your heart, when this prayer is so drawn out of your soul that you must pray it, that is because the Lord will have the honour, because he's having you to worship him by bringing you to that place. You know, proud nature, and we've all got it. If we're honest with ourselves, proud nature would never want to pray this prayer. Proud nature wants to go to, well, you young friends will understand this. Proud nature wants to go to Google to solve its problems. Proud nature wants to go to a book. Proud nature wants to go to another fellow late person or to ask them for their opinion. Proud nature wants to seek out a way of sorting the issue out, whether it be at school, at the workplace, whether it be in our life anyway, friends, whether it be medical things, some book, some searching of the internet. No, friends. No, friends. That's where we are in proud nature. They're the first things we go to. And friends, I'm with you. I'm guilty, guilty of this very thing. But to look to Jesus, kind and strong, to look to him, mercy. She said, have mercy on me. But mercy joined with power. Lord, help me. Lord, set forth thy mercy. Lord, show me thy power. Oh, we have to be taught it, but it's wonderful. And you'll know, I'm sure, friends, but we'll just touch on it briefly, the wonderful story of William Gadsby. William Gadsby, who we, of course, responsible for compiling our hymn book, and how much we love the dear man, but you know how he was brought to have to live this very text, Lord help me, as he owed £20 to a man. His business had just closed. He'd finished his business. He was owed plenty of money. He was owed a lot more than £20. And when the man said, will you pay me by a week on Monday? He spoke to him on a Monday morning. Yes, I'll pay you next Monday. He was confident that his creditors would pay him and that he'd be able to pay back the £20. Confident. You and I are confident in our matters that we can resolve them, and we know we've got a situation and it's resolvable and it'll go forward. It'll be fine. Will it? Oh, the dear man had to prove. Well, his suppliers couldn't pay him and his creditors. And then he thinks, well, okay, I've got family. They'll help me with the £20 till I can pay them back. His family couldn't. You read through the week. It goes to Monday, goes to Tuesday, goes to Wednesday. The family can't help. His friends at the chapel might help. No, none of them could help. And on Thursday, his wife asks him why he's got the gloomy face. And he says, I can see £20 written on the faces of my children as they sit round the table. How am I going to pay my £20? I'm going to bring disrepute upon the house of God, upon me as a servant. You see, friends, now he's having to realise that all these things that he thought was going to resolve his problem. And so it goes on, and he gets deeper and more desperate. And on the Saturday morning, sitting as he did, pondering the word, he's got to preach 3 times on the Sunday. And he said, all I could pray 100 times was, Lord, help me. And the Lord showed him that was to be his text for the Sunday. And still into Sunday, and he's got Monday before him, and this money that he owes, and into Sunday. As he preaches that morning, you know, he touched on how someone got money that wasn't due to them. And he just touched on this case, and he didn't realise quite why he was explaining this case. How that someone had left money and that it wasn't due to them, and a deacon had been destroyed through it because he'd been dishonest in accruing money that wasn't his. Well, you know, after long services, 3 days preaching upon the word and felt much help, you know, there's a knock at the door of the vestry after the evening service, and a young man came and he puts £20 on the table, and he said, you spoke of wrongly accruing money. He said, My mother died and left this for you in her will, and I've kept hold of it. But when you said that, I've got to give it to you. And you know, he had to prove, Lord help me, that little prayer of his, he was able to pay his debt on the Monday. Friends, this is the man who so faithfully and honestly compiled our hymn book. So is it any wonder? I'm not saying his faith any greater than yours or mine, but it's ever been thus. Poor, sinful man, we look to things that we feel can resolve our problems, whether it be spiritually or in our lives. But oh, to lean on Jesus, oh, to look to him and this wonderful prayer. You never wear it out, friends. You will never wear it out. Lord, help me. When did you last pray it? Really meaning it, really needing it, squeezed out of your very heart. Friends, you see, the enemy's come in and said, well, you preached them this word a couple of times. He said, you preached them this word when you went before the church. And I, you know, friends, I've got no answer to him except to say, yes, you're right, I did. But I feel I need it more and more. And poor sinner, as you go on in the journey and you see the weight of your sins, and you see just how far off from God you are, you'll need those Lord help me's. You'll need that Lord help me to enable you to carry on in that tried pathway. And perhaps you look to the future at this time and it looks bleak and it looks dark and it looks unmanageable. And so the Lord will have it to be so, friends, that you are going to lean upon him, that you're going to lean harder still, that there will be nothing of the flesh but all of Jesus, really. Oh, friends, it's walking these things out. It's experiencing these things. Oh, I do hope there's a few poor souls that can feel as they listen to this simple word this morning, and it will have a resonance within, and they will feel this. I know just a little of where we are with these things. And oh, I feel I fail in my worship, and I fail in my prayers. But oh, friends, what a favour it is that the Lord has left this little prayer on record. What would it be if this case of this dear woman was not in the scriptures? What would it be if Lord help me was not there? Oh, friends, I don't know where you and I would be without it. Well, I speak for myself. I don't know where I would be. Oh, you see, I'll be honest with you. More than one servant of God has said this as three steps into the pulpit. Lord, help me. And you know there are three steps through life. And they'll get you through life. And they'll get you through life's worst circumstances. That leaning, that dependence upon him. Oh, as we spoke to our friend the deacon this morning, we quoted that, thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. And he will have us to be naught, friends, to be naught, so that the power of God is seen. This is where we're naught, when we come genuinely in the heart saying, Lord, help me. Not a lip service, Lord, help me. But Lord, help me. I'm such a wretched sinner. I'm wandering so far from God. I feel I have no, I do not have the essence of the truth in my heart. Such a place to walk. But Lord, help me. You see, this very prayer can be the prayer of the, we talked about the prayer for the young people and the children, but for those in the heat and burden in the Middle Ages, but those older friends, you know, it will never wear out, friends. And I believe, you know, when we come to that last great enemy, to cross that Jordan, we're going to need this prayer. Lord, help me. Help me. Oh, if ever we're going to need the help of the dear Lord, it's going to be in a dying hour, friends. Oh, to lay up those Lord help me's for that, even now, whatever age we are. Yes, to be able to pray and express in prayer this word. You say, well, when I've been in trouble, Even this week, I can't pray. I can't pray, let alone pray in these three words. Friends, I believe sometimes where it's the hymn writer says, a prayer is uttered or unexpressed. You'll know the three words, uttered or unexpressed. I believe sometimes it doesn't have to be expressed in words. I believe, Lord, help me. If I know anything of this pathway, friends, Lord, help me is squeezed out of you that you barely even verbalise it. And the very time that you think you're not praying is the Lord, help me is being brought out of you. That is where a real Christian knows it, friends. That they just feel that they can't pray, they're empty, they can't pray, and yet they desire to pray. That, you know, really within you is the Lord, help me is being worked through your desires, you see. Oh, you can't express them. Oh, you're not articulate. Oh, you're not clever in your wording of your prayers. But this woman wasn't, was she? Simple. Simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. Are you amongst them? Am I? Oh, what a woman. Great is thy faith, he said. Oh, she's simple in her prayer, but great in her faith. Well, that might be an encouragement to a poor soul that they feel that they're so inarticulate in their prayers. But great is thy faith, because it's about belief, friends. It's not about wordiness. It's not about beauty in prayer. It's not about wonderment in our expressions. No, it's about simplicity. Oh, it really is. You know, the Lord's, through Paul, was very clear as he wrote to the Thessalonian church, rejoice evermore. I feel these verses go together. Rejoice evermore. You say, I can't this morning. Well, friends, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, to be helped to do so. And there were so many in the Word of God that proved the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we barely feel to touch it, but you see, you might think of some of the mighty kings. You know, they were brought to lean upon the Lord. Godly King Jehoshaphat, Judah gathered themselves together, we read, to ask help of the Lord. And it may be, friends, I speak rightly, I hope, that it may be collectively, does the Lord help us in whatever matter, whatever exercise, whatever burden you may carry. And you know, you carry the burden of affliction, you know, as a people. We feel for you and our dear friend and other afflictions too. But you carry that burden, you know. You should be carrying it together. You know, one person's trouble in a unified chapel is everyone's trouble. And so, Lord, help us. Help us together. Help us in this time of affliction. Help us in this time of trouble. Well, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Out of all the cities of Judah, they came with one common thing: to seek the Lord. Wonderful thing if you're doing that with commonality, with one theme as a people, as a church, as a people here at Swavesey. Lord, be with us. Lord, direct our paths. Lord, help us for the future. Show us the right way, Lord. And indeed, those groups of you, it may be as a family that you're in trouble, that individual families, but help us. Lord, help us. So not just in the singular, is it? It can be in the plural. But you see, we read Hezekiah said as well. He said, with him, that is the king of Assyria that's come against him, is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord, our God, to help us. To help us. And to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Oh, to be able to rest upon the words of the Lord Jesus, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Fear not, for I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, I will help thee." Oh, yes. And how beautiful it is in the Psalms when the Lord says this, "I will help her. Her, I will help Zion. I will help her." And that right early. Oh, do you need it, desperate soul, right early? That gracious help from above. You know, the word help in Scripture comes more times in the Psalms than anywhere else. And David needed it, did he not, so many times? Help before Goliath, help when he was anointed to be the king. And yet he had to have that opposition so long before he came to be the king. Help in so many battles that he fought in. Help when he came, Nathan came before him and his sin was shown up. Help in confession in Psalm 51, which you know much of, I'm sure, where he had to plead that the Lord would wash him and cleanse him truly and thoroughly from his sin. Oh, David knew it, did he not, friends? Time and time again. Help from above. Oh, to look for it, friends. You know how much we need the Lord. I think sometimes, you know, Cowper got it so right with that desire for that closer walk with God, did he not? And oh, you know, that close walk with God will be the bringing forth of the very prayer of this dear woman, "Lord, help me." You see, it's being shown that we need his help. And it's only poor sinners that are shown that. It's only those the Lord will bring that are shown that. That there's no help in self, I find. And yet have sought it well. Sought it very well. Spent many years seeking help in self. Yes, because the native treasure of our mind is sin and death and hell. But when we look to Jesus, that is when the power is revealed through him. Friends, yes, well, we have the ordinance. I won't keep you here. But to consider these words, and then she came. Oh, may we come. And may we consider then, as we try to open a little bit up about worship, friends. And oh, I know we're poor the way we do it. But oh, to be exercised that we're true, ideal worshippers. And then to be helped in our life of prayer and our desperate prayers. Because the Lord will bring us into those places, friends. You know, it's for our soul's profit. And though we can't always see it, that we may know it and realize it. The righteous shall hold on his way. And he'll hold on his way by exercising this very prayer, "Lord, help me." Amen.
God willing, Sunday school this afternoon will be on Zoom. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach. And next Lord's Day, there will be an early morning prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And then Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the TBS West Anglia Auxiliary. And our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their anniversary service next Saturday at 2:45 and 5:45, and the services may be listened to on Zoom. Let us now close with hymn 329. "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." Hymn 329.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we do pray for thy blessing and favour upon that which has been done in thy name. And Lord, we do seek for thy help now as we come to the table. And Lord, do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.